The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
Thanks for being with us. Charles Barkley will join us in about 15 minutes. Pedro Gomez, at the bottom of the hour, previewing the World Series. Pedro was down at Grambling, working on a big piece for ESPN down at the Grambling football program. The players have boycotted, so I'm very interested in that story to hear what Pedro saw down at Grambling. And, of course, Charles Barkley. It's been a while since we've had Charles on the show, a few months, and I think it's time to... I want to talk with Charles about when did he know that it was time for him to get out of Phoenix. And as he looks at Larry Fitzgerald, does he know that it's time for Larry Fitzgerald to get out of Phoenix? And the same would go for Adrian Peterson after watching that train wreck last night. There's certain guys that you look at in the National Football League, and you know that the clock is ticking, and you know that their time is running out in the city that they're in, and you know that they're not going to be around forever, and you know they have no shot at winning a Super Bowl. Larry Fitzgerald is one of those players. Sorry for all you Cardinal fans that believe that they are the class of the NFC. I have that tongue-in-cheek there, okay? But watching Adrian Peterson last night, it made me think of Larry Fitzgerald. You know, you start hearing the conversation of guys that we're in a position, the window is closing, Charles is in the exact same place. When did you know? And of course, he follows sports closely too. I want to talk to him about that. Man, was Josh Freeman bad last night. Holy cow, that was... In one sense, it was entertaining because, you know, the way that I'm wired, I don't get all wound up about the NFL. The NFL is not the end-all of end-alls to me. It's not. It's great. I'll sit and I'll watch. But when you see how bad the product was last night and the biggest stage possible and a winless team and a team that's just horrendous.
I didn't know they still played preseason games in week seven.
And they charged full price for that crap. I mean, that was just horrendous. And I'm sure that, I don't care how big the numbers are. People stop and they watch train wrecks alongside the, you know, car wrecks and all that stuff. That I don't care. It was just embarrassing. But on a serious note, here's Adrian Peterson last night. They put 8 in the box. They put 9 in the box. There was nothing there that he could do. So we'll talk much more about that. The $6 ticket on StubHub for the World Series game that everybody's been talking about, not so fast. StubHub has now said that the ticket was a fraud. So we're going to get into that in a little bit because StubHub just got millions of dollars worth of free publicity. That's a nice try. The Grambling story, Nevin Shapiro in Miami, somewhat interesting to me because, you know, we talk about today it was ruled that Miami can still be bowl eligible. That happened earlier today. And here's poor little old USC and all these spoiled little whiny USC fans saying, it's not fair, it's not fair. Well, look, when Miami used the term self-imposed penalties and you use the term appeal, that's the big difference. We're going to talk about that a little bit as we move along. So Charles Barkley and Pedro Gomez. Here is our, Eric's got our Facebook question of the day. Our Facebook question of the day, as always, you can go to Facebook, facebook.com/pros2preps, like our page, share your input. Figured this out over the last couple of months as Eric started doing this, that a lot of you like to go over to Facebook and weigh in on the question of the day. Today's question is...
Good morning, Brad. Today's question is... Yeah. Carlos Dansby. Speaking of the Cardinals,
Carlos Dansby,
linebacker, turns 32 next week.
Old.
Not sure if you're aware, but he leads the NFL in total tackles this season with 60.
Los. Yeah.
Today's question, what other athlete comes to mind who excelled towards the back end of their career in Arizona? There's some really obvious ones.
And then Kurt Warner.
And then if you give it a little thought... There's some kind of under the radar ones.
Robin Lopez. He excelled.
He's still young and he never excelled. So
he got in his car and drove to the airport. Levi Brown. He excelled at the airport.
Again, not old.
By years. Let me think. Eric Burns. He excelled to the airport with a lot of money.
Again, not old.
Got a ton of money.
In all seriousness, I think Jared had the answer of the day.
Yeah.
Grant Hill.
Grant Hill excelled. I'll give you that. Steve Nash towards the end?
No question.
Towards the end. Was he old at that point or was he just feeling pretty good about himself? Because the last couple of years were hard to watch.
I mean, I think when you get into your late 20s, early 30s, you're considered old for an athlete.
For an athlete.
Mark Grace had a good run with the Dimebacks.
Please don't say that when you get to that age that you're old. That would mean I'm dead.
Athlete years. Just like, you know, a running back turns 30.
It's dog like years. Really,
yeah, exactly.
Dog years.
Facebook.com/prostpreps.
I like your question. I didn't know that Carlos Dansby led the entire NFL with 60 total tackles. That's impressive. I like Carlos a lot. He is one of my favorite people to talk to when it comes to what's going on in the National Football League. All right, let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. And it's brought to you by, as we pull down the slot on a Tuesday and get you ready for the weekend straight ahead, the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino. You hear that winning, and you're thinking, that could be me. But I'm stuck at this desk listening to Sesmat while I'm doing something I just can't handle doing. We just need to go to the Honda Resort and Casino. Have some fun, pull down the slots, eat some great food, get to the great outdoors. The temperatures are very cool on the weekends. And even if you want to go up during a weekday and get away from it all, it's the Honda Resort and Casino. Stay at the resort. Check out the biggest, baddest brown fishing tournament, all the details at Honda.com. Charles Barkley in about 7 or 8 minutes. And then Pedro Gomez. So I think today I woke up still in shock over what I saw in the Monday night game last night. A little bit further on that. So there are guys that get paid lots of money to be general managers and coaches in the National Football League. It's amazing to me. You can have an organization that is run, the Wolves run it, Ziggy Wolf, that franchise has had some great times. And yet, last night they threw a quarterback out on the field that clearly did not have command of the system. Did I see him? Eric, did you see him audible even once? Once?
I was too busy watching him overthrow wide open receivers on patterns, Brad, that really aren't difficult. Like, you know, Adrian Peterson runs a little hook route out of the backfield, like 7 yards in front of him, and he overthrows him.
He had 15 overthrows in the game, the most since 2006, according to ESPN Stats, Inc. Okay. And so I've sat here and seen a lot of bad quarterbacking out of the Cardinals. I always try to equate what I see nationally to what's going on here locally. So I see a lot of bad quarterbacking out of the Cardinals over the last few years, and even to a certain extent this year with Carson Palmer. I'd rather have Carson Palmer than Josh Freeman. And some people send me a note, oh, Josh Freeman, if he were here, he'd be better than Carson Palmer. I don't see that. You have to wonder why and how, and this does equate to the Cardinals, guys can get together in a meeting room and say, you know what, we're going to draft Christian Ponder as a top 15 pick in the NFL because we believe that Christian Ponder can take us to the promised land. And then it works out that Christian Ponder is really not all that, so we're going to throw a lot of money at Matt Cassel because we believe Matt Cassel can get us there. And then they say, well, Matt Cassel's not getting it done, so we're going to make a deal for Josh Freeman. And we're going to stick him out there on Monday Night Football, and he's not going to be able to check out of plays. They're going to put 9 in the box. Adrian Peterson, our star running back, is going to get run over, and Josh Freeman's going to absolutely embarrass us and put us into a corner, into a box. I don't think my ego's out of control here when I say with full confidence, I could sit there and be in that position and say, what are we doing here at quarterback, guys? And I think a lot of you could sit here and be in that position. Oh, well, you don't know. You've never been behind. All I know is this. There's has to have been some dysfunctionality. Whether it's Rick Spielman, whether it's Leslie Frazier, he's gonna lose his job if they're going to keep Josh Freeman out there. And then there's the eternal optimist Viking fan who says, well, hey, he just needed to get through it. He was awful. And next week we have Green Bay and we'll get it all turned around. It's just the quarterback play in the NFL. And with all the injuries that are coming down now, every weekend there's more and more attrition. I had somebody ask me today, why hasn't Ryan Williams been out on the field yet for the Cardinals? It's probably a good thing because you get to the backside of your schedule, you don't have any bodies left. You have all these guys that have been put on IR and they're done for the season. It was just awful last night. It made me think about the future of Adrian Peterson. If you're Adrian Peterson, why would you want to stay in a situation where you have no shot and the organization could still get something for you of great value that could bridge the gap to make another run? And the same thing is happening here with Larry Fitzgerald. Exact same thing. I'm not sitting here wanting to run Larry Fitzgerald out on a railroad, but if I'm doing the business here, The business is, it's pretty easy. We're going to keep Fitz. He'll retire a Cardinal. We'll sell lots of jerseys, and we're never going to come close to winning a title. He is our most valuable asset sitting here for a team that is a 500 club at best. Again, I'm not sitting here saying today it's got to happen, but at some point, you have to look at it from the business side and say, it's time to move on. For those of you that bought into the Diamondbacks quote yesterday of Gibby's not going anywhere, that didn't come from Gibby. So, and Gibby would be pretty smart if he picked up the phone and called Detroit and said, you know what, I'll at least listen. So I'm not burying that story and saying that there's nothing to that. I don't believe his job is on secure footing here in Arizona. And I, the gauge I've gotten from most of you is you don't believe that it's on secure footing. I'd say it was 80-20 yesterday, those of you wanting him to leave and go to Detroit, and you want a change of voice. The facts are that three of his coaches are gone. Another one is going to leave. They were two and a half games up on July 4th. They finished 11 back. I don't get this big, warm, fuzzy feeling about what's going on with Kirk Gibson. I think it's going to be one of those deals where we're sitting here next May if they're 15 and 28 and they're going to make a change. You'd be better off to go make that move now. The Miami story, I'll get to that on the other side. I'm going to get out early. I've got Charles coming up. So let's step out here early. Charles Barkley comes up on the other side. When did he know that it was time to leave Phoenix? If you remember that. The Suns have Vegas, or Vegas has the Suns, at 21.5 wins. Is he going to take the over or the under? And can you buy an NBA title? Who has the best IQ as an NBA player? There's a survey that came out this morning from the NBA general managers. I'll see if Charles agrees with me on that. And we'll just get into some social commentary stuff as well, as we always do with Charles Barkley. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Susmat. You can always find me on Twitter, at Brad Susmat. And of course, our website, Sports360AZ. Sports360AZ.com. Pedro Gomez in 15 minutes. Charles Barkley's next.
React and interact to today's Pros to Preps question of the day at facebook.com/pros to preps.
Monday through Friday, Brad Susmat with you, doing our thing on Sports 360 AZ and White Mountain Radio and across the state of Arizona. Charles Barkley joins us now on a day where the NBA's general manager survey came out. Someday, sometime, Charles may well be a general manager. That's not today. He's getting ready for another NBA on TNT season to tip off. How are you?
I'm doing great, my brother. I'm doing wonderful.
Okay, so Charles, these 30 GMs had 56 different questions, and I don't want to make this all basketball, the whole thing, but for the first time ever, the GM said that James Harden is the best shooting guard in the NBA over Kobe Bryant. You buy into that?
Yeah, at this stage, yeah. I mean, Kobe obviously is on the decline because he's older, but also he's coming off the Achilles injury. I think James Harden's a better player at Kobe Bryant at this stage of his career. He's never going to be Kobe Bryant because Kobe Bryant's one of the 10 greatest players ever. But at this stage, comparable today, James Harden's a better player.
Which player has the best basketball IQ, they were asked? Chris Paul, Steve Nash, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James.
Probably Kobe Bryant. Got a basketball IQ. He's unbelievable. I mean, but like I say, he's old, man. He's played 16, 17 years.
Yeah.
Everybody, people retire, you know, because they can't do it anymore. And mm-hmm. like I say, this the Lakers going to be bad with or without Kobe Bryant this year. So the Lakers aren't legitimate right now.
Chris Paul was the one that the GMs said over Kobe, by the way, on that one. They were asked which player, and this will be the last one, which player would you like taking a shot with the game on the line? The GMs said Kevin Durant by a wide margin over Kobe and Carmelo and LeBron.
I got no problem with that. I'd probably, back in the day, it probably would be Kobe. But, you know, first of all, I don't understand why people keep calling Chris Paul the best point guard in the NBA. That's Tony Parker. I think Chris Paul is the best leader. You know, the best leader used to be Jason Kidd, but now it's Chris Paul. But he's not a better player than Tony Parker. I hear all these guys who think they know something about basketball and don't have a clue. Anybody who thinks Chris Paul is a better point guard than Tony Parker is just an idiot.
Toughest player, they had Kobe Bryant, followed by David West, followed by Nick Collison, and Fareed at Denver, and then Garnett. toughest player in the NBA.
How did those guys get toughest fighting?
I mean, you would know on this one.
The only guy on that list I would worry about would be David West. He's, you know, I got a list of players I said, oh, yeah, he's on the list. You know, David West is on the list. Kenyon Martin's on the list. There's guys, you know, you don't mess with. But mm-hmm. I don't know how those other guys got on the list. I mean, I don't. I mean, David West is a man. Kenyon Martin, those guys are man. You know, there's, like I said, there's certain guys I always talk about. I like Fareed, too, but I don't look at him as being like a tough badass. You know, he's a really hard-working guy. I mean, got great energy. But I never seen him I never seen him on the list.
Who'd you get in a fight with or almost get in a fight with when you played that you're like, uh-oh, that was not a smart move? Anybody?
No, I'm never worried about that. I like my chances against anybody in a fight, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to fight with Lambert. I got to fight with Charles Oakley. But I like my chances in a fight. One thing about me, most people say, yeah, I don't want to mess with that guy. There's a reason I've been arrested 8 times. I'm not taking any crap off anybody. I'm not worried about going to jail. They'll get me out in the morning.
The fight with Oakley, was that you pinched his nipple, he said? Do I remember that story correctly?
You know, I don't even remember. I was just joking around with him. He hates me more than any person in the world.
Why is that, Charles?
I have no idea why, to be honest with you. You know, and that's the one thing, like, even though me and Bill had a couple of scuffles, you know, once the game is over, I never took a fight off the court.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes things happen in the heat of the moment, but once the game is over, but, you know, every couple of years, Charles Oakley gets on the radio and tells people he hates me more than anything in the world. And, you know, people act like I'm like 10. They're like, what do you think? I'm like, he really does hate me. I don't have to go back and forth with him. I mean, dude, I respected the guy as a player. I respected Bill Lambert. But sometimes when you play very physical, things happen.
Yeah. I mean, aren't you at a point, if you could sit with Bill, with Charles Oakley and say, what was your problem with me, and have a beer and figure it out? Or is that just never going to happen?
I don't listen. He welcome. Trust me, I'm gonna have beer. I mean, me and Bill Lambert, we've been working together the last 3 years. He was working down doing some stuff with NBA TV, and mm-hmm. it's like we've known each other for years. Because you don't take stuff off the court at all. I just think that's just stupid to take anything that happened in a sporting event to take it off the field or the court.
The Suns, by Vegas's view, have them at 21.5 wins. You going over or under on that one?
Ooh.
I think they're going to be a little bit better than 21.5. I could be wrong. I mean, Bledsoe.
I think they're going to be over. You know, one thing, I was doing some research yesterday, and I don't respect a lot of people's opinion on basketball, and especially they don't. But it really bothered me that my two teams were 29th and 30th in the NBA. And it sucked because, you know, obviously living in Phoenix, I want to see the Suns do well. Playing in Philadelphia, I want to see the 76ers do well. And it just really just pissed me off that my teams was ranked 29th and 30th going into the season, which, I mean, they might be off a little bit, but I hate when it sucks when a fan base just got to go through the motions. And only going to see, you got to go see the opposition play. You can't see your own team play.
Well, it's like Philly drafting Nerlens Noel. Now it's come out, he's probably going to miss the entire season. I mean, you have no hope there. And on the.
Well, they didn't have hope anyway.
Yeah.
But that might be, you know, that might be one of those situations where, listen, let's just get as many balls in the hoppers as we can.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going to miss a lot of the season anyway because he got hurt in February. So he probably was going to take a year off anyway. That might be one of those situations where, you know, listen, and that's the one thing I hate about the NBA now. These teams are just canceling the season, just trying to play for the lottery next year. I mean, you don't do that. I mean, it drives me crazy. It's not fair to the fans. I mean, players are all making millions of dollars. But it sucks for the fan base where your team is like, we're trying to get ready for next year. Dude, the season hasn't started yet.
So 21.5 wins, you're going to take the over on that by a lot or a little?
No, by a little. If it was 30, I'd take under.
Yeah, all right. I got you on that. How do you think Hornacek's going to do as a coach?
Well, it's not fair to Jeff. I like Jeff. You know, I really like Jeff a lot as a person. But listen, the Suns are a good team, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't be because of coaching. You bring Phil Jackson to here, they still going to stink.
Larry Fitzgerald, let's switch gears here for a minute. So I'm watching last night, and Josh Freeman was awful, and Adrian Peterson's getting the hell kicked out of him. And it's one of those players you look at and say, he needs to get out of Minnesota because the end is near. And I would say that the same is somewhat true with Fitz, or is true with Fitz. He's in a situation here where they're not going to win a title. When did you know that it was time to get out of Phoenix because you knew that the chances for you to win a title were done here?
No, that's not what happened in Phoenix. The signs screwed me here in Phoenix. I never wanted to leave Phoenix, to be honest with you. My first mistake I made was not leaving Philadelphia sooner. Mm-hmm. I should have left after 6 years. I ended up playing two more years in Philly, which, you know, everybody was trying to get me my last 3 years in Philly, but I wanted to just stay there. And I went through 2 years of hell here in every room in the world. And finally, at the end of the eighth year, I said, I'm never playing here again. I said, when I walk out this locker room tonight, y'all handle it how y'all want to. I'm not going to go public. I'm not going crazy. But I'm never, ever playing here again. And I said, y'all do what y'all want to do. But I swear on my mother's life, I'm never playing here again. The thing with the Suns, I played here for 4 years, and I get a call from the Houston Rockets. And I said, and I had known a couple of guys with the Rockets. I said, what's going on? He says, if we trade for you, you're not going to ask for a new contract, are you? I says, what do you mean? Suns aren't trading me. I'm the only guy we got we can play. They're like, oh, no. They're shopping you. And I said, no, there's no way possible the Suns are going to trade me. I mean, I'm the only guy they got can play. And I called the Suns. They said, no, we're not trading you. And I said, okay, I'm cool then. The Rockets called me back later. Hey, so says, promise us if we trade for you, you're not going to ask for a new contract. And I said, they are shopping me, aren't they? And then that's a couple days later when I went on the thing with Bob Costas, the famous interview.
Yep, and said peace of
mind. I didn't ever say that I wanted to be traded. I said, I'd be surprised if I'm with the Suns next year. But the Suns screwed me, man. I never wanted to leave Phoenix. And the Rockets wanted me. But they wanted to make sure I didn't want a new contract. But the Suns screwed me. I never wanted to leave Phoenix. Never. See, that's the one thing. I'm glad you asked me that question because there's a lot of rumors out there and BS about me wanting to get out of Phoenix. That never, ever happened.
Do you empathize with Larry Fitzgerald at all? And do you see my point and my question about him and what's going on here with the Cardinals?
Sure. And I think I have no problem with Larry. The problem with Larry and Adrian Peterson is, you know, the NFL has such a hard salary cap. You know, that's going to be the difficult thing. I think, first of all, you know, they're talking. I was at Alabama with my mom last week, and obviously we followed the Atlanta Falcons. And the same situation was coming up with Tony Gonzalez, but his contract not near like Fitz and Adrian Peterson. Listen, I think if you're a great player and a team really admire you and respect you, they should go to you so you don't have to ask to be traded because they're pushing an awkward situation with the fans. Mm-hmm. And plus, you can get better for the future. You know, the Cardinals are not going to win a championship in the next 3 years. And by that time, Fitz will be past his prime. Same thing with Adrian Peterson. The Minnesota Vikings are not going to win a championship in the next 3 years. So they should go and say, hey, listen, we're going to try to trade you to a contender and start rebuilding this franchise. I have no problem with a guy doing that, to be honest with you, Brad.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat with you. I just think it's coming that time with him. And it's hard here, Charles, because we're one of these towns where people, we are a town, we're not a big city here, I don't believe. And so you get invested in somebody and you say, it's time for that person to go have that opportunity elsewhere. And,
well, but you don't, also, you, listen, when I'm a GM,
yeah,
I'm running my team like the Patriots run their team.
Yep.
This is business. There's no sense in Larry being a great player just running out his career, and we don't have anything to show for him in 2 or 3 years. If I got a chance to get a couple of high draft picks and start building for the future, that's the way you run your business. You know, I was in Philadelphia this summer, and they were asking me what I think about the Phillies. I said, what? So they gave Jimmy Rollins a long-time contract for 3 years and Chase Utley, and those guys have been terrific players, but they're both past their prime. And I said, you can't re-sign old players. And if a guy says to me, well, what about loyalty? I said, you mean the $15 million I've been paying them the last 5 years ain't loyalty?
That's right.
You know, that's what loyalty is. I've been paying you $10, $15, $20 million. I've been loyal to you. I'm not going to pay you when you pass your prime. This is a business. I got an obligation to my fans going forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, the couple of jobs that I had to be a GM, I told them, I'm going to do this thing my way. I'm not going to pay guys. You know, like I see some of these NBA teams paying these guys who ain't going to be, who as good as they're going to get as players. You know, like last year, you know, we always do an evaluation on every team at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And the Southern Cut of Milwaukee Bucks came up. And Ernie says, well, what do you think? I says, well, Monte Ellis makes $11 million a year. He's going to opt out his contract because he wants more. We're not going to be a better team given Monte Ellis $16 million, $17 million a year. And he asks, he says, well, what about Brandon Jennings? Brandon Jennings is a free agent. If I give Brandon Jennings $15 million, we're not contenders. So my two guards going to make $30 million, and we're going to be a 7-8 seed at the best or probably not make the playoffs. That's not how you run your business. At least they were smart enough to let both of those guys go. That tells me the GM knows what he's doing a little bit.
Well, it's like here. I was on a rampage for 3 years saying, you've got to trade Steve Nash now. You've got to get him out of here. And what I got back is, how are we going to fill the lower bowl to watch the games? Well, let me be honest here with you guys. It doesn't matter who shows up in the lower bowl. It matters who watches on television. The revenue is greater there than who goes the lower bowl. And they would never get out of the way. And so we're in this disastrous situation here where they signed Michael Beasley and Wesley Johnson. And it was just, and we've talked about this in the past. Ownership just amazes me. Like in Minnesota, the Josh Freeman thing. So you draft Christian Ponder, you sign Matt Cassel, you go get Josh Freeman, you have no quarterback, you have a star running back who's getting his head kicked into the turf, and you're going nowhere fast. It doesn't matter what sport you're in, Charles. It's just amazing to me, some of these guys.
Well, you know, first of all, the Suns waited 3 years too soon to trade Steve Nash. I'm a Steve Nash fan, but Steve Nash has been done probably for 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
I mean, he's been done.
Yes.
And first of all, they were loyal to him. They paid him $10, $15, $17 million, so that's loyalty. At least they were smart enough to let Amari Stoudemire go. You know, a bunch of people asked me would I re-sign Stoudemire. Steve Kerr was saying, I said, dude, if you re-sign that dude, you know, Amari Stoudemire's finished too. I mean, he's been finished for a couple years. He's never going to be healthy again. That was one of the smart decisions the Suns made. I mean, they made a lot of bad ones. That was one of the smart ones. Can you imagine they were paying Amari Stoudemire over $100 million and couldn't get rid of him for the next 5 or 6 years? That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, but a lot of these guys, man, I don't understand what they're trying to do. I don't understand why they bought in Josh Freeman, to be honest with you, because they weren't going to win.
No.
The Vikings are not going to win. They're probably the fourth best team in that division. And I feel bad because I'm a Les LaFrager fan because he's a friend of mine. But when people cut, like, you know, you mentioned Michael Beasley.
Yeah.
Now, Michael Beasley might do well in Miami because he's like the sixth best player on the team. But when the Miami Heat cut the number two pick in the draft, and then Minnesota cuts him and they're not a good team, and then the Suns are like, what did they sign him for? Like, he is what he is. Now, coming off the bench for Miami, he might be able to make a difference. He's like the seventh, eighth best player on the team.
Sure.
But if you bring a guy in like that, thinking he's going to be one of your top two or three, four players, you're just an idiot. You don't know what you're doing.
There's a lot of that out there. Everything else well in your world? Everything good?
Yeah, man. Hey, man, I'm getting the season start a week from today. I can't wait. It's going to be some good storylines. I mean, you know, I can't wait to see Indiana's going to be good. Derrick Rose coming back. Brooklyn going to be interesting. Can they beat Miami in the West? The Clippers, if Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan have worked on their game, the Clippers could be really good. I mean, Blake Griffin, he's a good little player, but he's like half the player he could be. If he worked on his game, the same thing with DeAndre Jordan. They picked up a kid named Byron Mullen, who I really like a lot. Westbrook coming back, Golden State, and Houston. Those four teams, man, it's going to be a dogfight for those top four spots out west. It's going to be interesting this year.
As long as Doc Rivers makes sure that he covers up all the Laker titles. What did you make out of that story?
just think guys got too much time in the hand. He just better hope that Blake Griffin's working on his game and wasn't making a bunch of commercials like he's been doing the last couple of years. No, because let me tell you something.
Yeah.
They got everything they need, but it all depends on Blake and DeAndre Jordan. If those guys have gotten better as basketball players, the Clippers could be the team to beat in the West other than Golden State, Oklahoma City, and the Rockets.
Stay well. Appreciate your time as always, Charles. Thank you.
All right, man. Be safe.
You got it. Charles Barkley with us here for a couple of minutes on the show. Always good to catch up with Charles. NBA on TNT as we roll around what's going on in the world of sports with Chuck. Always fun. Pedro Gomez scheduled to join us just off a plane from Grambling. He was down there doing the ESPN story on Grambling. That story is stunning to me. And, of course, he's going to be in Boston for the World Series with the Red Sox and Cardinals. That's on the other side. Thanks to Charles Barkley. Pedro Gomez is next. I'm Brad Sussmann.
Time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sessman.
World Series time. Pedro Gomez with us for a couple of minutes. ESPN pulled him down to Grambling because of the size of that story. I'm going to get to him on that in a second. First, why will St. Louis win the World Series?
That starting pitching is just overwhelming. I remember covering a game in April in St. Louis, and every single Cardinal veteran was raving about this young kid who had just been in spring training for the very first time, kid who was drafted a year ago, and it was Michael Wacha. And they could not stop talking about how he was the best pitcher, not just in the Cardinals camp, but in the entire Grapefruit League. They didn't see anybody with better stuff. And it turns out they very well may have been right about that.
Why will Boston win the World Series?
I don't know that they will. If they do, it's because they just get superior starting pitching from some guys like Lackey and Buchholz and Lester. I just don't know that they can match what St. Louis can in terms of the starting rotation. And the back end of the bullpen for Boston is great. So if they have a lead, then they can. But they've got to have a seventh or eighth inning lead in order to get it. And I don't know, St. Louis just plays such great fundamental baseball. I think it's gonna be a good series, probably one of the better ones we've seen in a while.
But you're leaning towards the Cardinals, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Gibby to Detroit. Okay, so Derek Hall can say, you know, that whatever Derek wants to say, and I like and respect Derek, but I haven't heard Kirk Gibson say, I am staying with the Diamondbacks. And there, to me, as you and I have talked over the last few months, if there was ever a time for Gibby to say, I'm willing to listen, I've lost three of my coaches, I'm probably going to lose a fourth, my team, the way that it's set up in Arizona, isn't nearly what I would have with the Tigers. I got to believe that there's something there. Bob Nightingale, I think, sent it out yesterday, Pedro, that the Diamondbacks would not stand in his way if he wanted to at least interview for the job. What do you make out of Gibby and the Tigers?
It's intriguing. There's no doubt it's intriguing because of his history there.
Yeah.
That club is built to win right now. There's no doubt about it. The window for the Tigers is now. They definitely have more pieces than the Diamondbacks. There's no doubt about that. It's a matter of, you know, if Gibby is interested, if the Tigers are interested. Forget if Gibby is interested. Are the Tigers interested? And that's the bigger question.
Why wouldn't they be? Because give me a big name front line guy who's out there this year. I can't think of any name guys that are sitting around unless Tony La Russa wants to come out of retirement.
Yeah, but the difference is, it's not like the Tigers need a big name guy to sell tickets. Mm-hmm. They've got the big name people on the field. You know, the Miguel Cabreras and Prince Fielder, even though he had a horrible October. But you know that Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, they have the star power to sell tickets. So you don't need a manager like say the Cubs. The Cubs could use a bigger name manager in order to sell some tickets. So that would be one reason that maybe the Tigers don't have interest in, say, a Kirk Gibson. But in terms of the history, in terms of what he brings, Tiger pedigree, yes, there's no doubt. And it is interesting that maybe the Diamondbacks would be willing to let him interview. It might tell you something about where they are with Kirk Gibson.
Right. Pedro Gomez with us for a couple of minutes, ESPN baseball analyst, and of course doing some feature stuff as well, including a story that when I first saw it with Grambling, what a story from top to bottom. The players looking for health related upgrades, unsanitary conditions. We've heard about MRSA in the NFL at Tampa Bay. I mean, what you go to Grambling, what story did you walk into down there?
One of the more intriguing ones I've ever covered, actually, Brad. You know, kids taking a very, very unique step to walk away from a game, to walk away from the program at that moment. I mean, you think about it, I can't remember that happening, where kids just decide, you know what, we're not going to play.
Who organized it? Who organized it? Did you get to the guy who organized it?
You know, I talked to about the, there's about six or seven leaders on the team. And they're the ones that basically were the ones that rallied the troops and said, you know, this is something that's important. It's beyond just this season. It's beyond what we're here for. It's just to ensure that Grambling State continues down the road and has an opportunity to repeat the past successes. So maybe we are the ones that have to take that step. Maybe we're the ones that have to step out and on the plank and take a dive, but it'll help the program down the road. And to their credit, the kids all decided, you know what, if that's what we need to do, we need to do it. And, I mean, let's not forget, Grambling State, when you think about the historical black colleges, Grambling State is the Yankees. They are the Yankees of the HBC schools. So it took a lot of courage for these kids who were on scholarship to decide to do that.
And the main reason why they did it wasn't necessarily, correct me on this, it wasn't necessarily about coaching. It was about the athletic program and facilities and unsanitary conditions. Yes or no?
Yes, that's the primary reason. Yeah. I talked to a couple of kids who've had staph infections. One of them has had it twice. And you hear staph infection, and you know that antibiotics can take care of most of them. But a staph infection is an extremely serious infection. That's not something to be taken lightly. And yes, they are on scholarship, so they're getting something in return for their education. But as one of them told me, you know, absolutely, we feel lucky to be on scholarship at Grambling. We feel lucky to be playing football there. But that doesn't mean we have to expose ourselves to these kind of infections in exchange for our scholarship. And there's probably not a lot of people that would argue with that point.
There were two trainers to cover 275 athletes. Is that right? At Grambling, just two trainers.
Two hired trainers, and then there's quite a bit of student trainers, but that's not the same thing either.
Sure. Very interesting on that front.
It is. I'll be actually back there on Saturday for their game against Texas Southern.
You gonna front something on it? You gonna do a piece on it?
Yeah. We're gonna do something for SportsCenter on Saturday night.
That'll be fun. Stay well. Appreciate your time as always and your insight.
Brad, always. Okay, take care.
Bye. It's Pedro Gomez with us for a couple of minutes. Pedro Gomez joins us every week here on the program. This segment of the Brad Sussmat Show is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. And when I say it's all about you, General Manager Tim Hovick called me a couple of weeks back, a Saturday afternoon, I'm at home. He's like, hey, I'm just touching base. How you doing? How's it going? How's the show? How are things? It's kind of nice when somebody's just checking in on you. How's the vehicle? You know, I'm driving that Fusion, that Ford Fusion, the hybrid. So, Tim, I'm getting great gas mileage with that. Like, well, we're rocking over here, and he was hopeful that the Cardinals would be playing well, and, of course, ASU. Santan Ford, the Ford names, great name, of course. They're big supporters of the Cardinals, big supporters of Arizona State, the Diamondbacks. All around town, they want to support high school, several other activities and groups that they're a part of as well. It's not just about buying the vehicle, it's giving back, and I like that. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. The next time you need a car or truck, think of Santan Ford. And also for great service, John Bernath and his company and the service team over there do a great job at Santan Ford. It is all about you. On the other side, so I'm going to get into this NCAA thing with Miami a little bit. Some other things around the state. We've got a couple games here tonight. And I might get a little bit further into this this whole NBA survey thing. It was kind of interesting to me. Some other things that are on my mind on a good Tuesday. Brad Cesmatt with you. You can follow me on Twitter at Brad Cesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T on Twitter. And, of course, our website, sports360az.com. Still swirling around the Charles Barkley interview in my head. He wasn't big, Eric, on the Suns this year, but he did go with the over on the 21.5. Not that I was expecting to be big. And, no, there can't be anybody who's anticipating more than, what, 23, 25 wins?
I think they'll hit the over.
Something like that. So I feel like what the season's starting a week from now, they have the Thunder here tonight. I'm not going to go down and watch preseason basketball. It just doesn't matter to me. But I am hearing that Miles Plumlee is playing pretty well for them and that there's some things about the Suns that as the season goes on, I'll tell you guys right now, I'm not saying you just need to forget about the season. And I understand where Charles was coming from on the fans have no hope here. But I said for years during the Nash era, this is a waste of everybody's time and you need to do what they did in Oklahoma City, which is drop the bomb on the team and start over from scratch.
And I think you're going to see that as the season progresses. March and Gortat.
Meaning Gortat will get traded.
Channing by
Dragic.
Dragic by.
Yeah. And I'm fine with that.
I am too.
I'm fine on all those fronts because I want a team that the fans here in Phoenix, they're a different mindset. You try to do this in Philly, you try and do this in New York, they're just going to kill the coach and they're going to kill the organization. Here, because most people that I've found the 20 years I've been here, most people just go find other things to do until the team is good. There's a loyal group, but for the most part, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, okay, well, you know, we'll go see the Cowboys are here in August for preseason football. Oh, well, the Cowboys are here. Forget about the fact it doesn't mean anything. We have to go. I mean, it's one of those deals where we have to be seen at certain events. That's how this market is to a certain extent. It's not a swipe. It's the truth. Let's not sit here and sugarcoat this. So when the Suns do get good again, and I don't know that I really like the fact that I haven't mentioned names Lon Babbie or Robert Sarver in about 5 months. I haven't seen either one of them. It's as though they have a tornado shelter downtown, and they're in the middle of the tornado, and the two of them went and locked themselves in there with a case of water and Ritz crackers, and that's where they're going to be until the team gets good again. I'm completely fine with that. I don't even think that they should be in the building for the next few years. Just go disappear and manage it from afar. Because I really like what Ryan McDonough and Jeff Hornacek are doing. There's too many good indications. And you'll say, oh, the team stinks. The team's horrible. You're just one of those people that wants to see it happen immediately. And it doesn't happen immediately. It's not going to happen immediately. You front-running Laker fans, your team's going to be brutal this year. You're going to be brutal this year.
It's always good, Brad, to be young and bad than old and bad.
Yeah, and the Suns were old and bad.
Last year, the Suns were old and really bad. Facelift time. Bring in some kids.
The year before they were old and really bad.
Sure.
The year before they were really bad. It would drive me crazy when I'd go down there and I have some people saying, you know, we're just this far out of the playoffs. We're just this close. No, you're an eighth seed going nowhere.
If you're anywhere from 7 or 8 or just on the outside of the playoffs, you have no chance. You don't have a chance of winning a title and you don't have a chance of getting a lottery pick.
Here's how it works. So you're going to be really bad again this year. You're going to miss the playoffs. I don't know where you're going to be in the lottery. You're going to have a lot of flexibility and several picks next summer. And next year, the 14-15 season, you need to make the back end of the playoffs, okay? That's the natural progression. You make the back end of the playoffs with a young, exciting team that people will get excited about. They'll get eliminated in the first round, maybe the second round. It's kind of like Golden State this last year. Golden State has built the team the right way. You can't miss on free agency. You can't tie up bad money. You can't bring in bad guys. You can't do all the things that they've done up until the last 4 months. They made every mistake in the book. Brought in bad people, made bad judgments, had bad people in places of power, had a really good coach and some really good guys that knew what they were doing, but they were the Black Knight and Monty Python, the Holy Grail. They had their arms cut off and their leg, and they were saying, I'm going to bite you. That's all that they had left. You know, so I am looking forward to the season, and I know most of you right now are just like, the Cardinals are going to be what they are. They're 500 team. They're an 8-8 team, maybe 7-9. I don't see that thing getting any better over the next several weeks. I do think at some point you have to have the discussion. If you're over at the Cardinals, if you're Steve Keim and you're the owner and you're the coach, there has to be a discussion at some point of, would it be in our best interests to consider and to look at shopping Larry Fitzgerald? I do believe it's come to that point. And watching Adrian Peterson last night, it's come to that point with the Vikings.
But Fitz has been hurting himself, if you are going to trade him, because he's been hurt and he has not had a great season. So it's just like the thing with Nash. Like, did the Cardinals wait too long?
Is he starting his descent?
I think so.
Yeah.
He won't admit that. The Cardinals won't admit it.
No, nobody will admit that. No, you know, it would be how dare you. You know, how dare you suggest that. It happens to everybody. You know, right now it's a hamstring. You know, Anquan is still out there killing it up in San Francisco. So there's a comparable person there to look at. But I do think it's an interesting time here in the Valley. If people whine and cry about how we don't have this going on, we don't have that going on. I think statewide, there's plenty of really good stories. I do. You just have to work at it instead of just mailing it in and walking in and expecting it all to be laid out there for you. The U of A basketball has a future top five pick sitting there who's only going to be there one season. Go enjoy him while you can. I think Jahi Carson has moved himself up to a top 15 pick in the draft, depending on where he's going to be. College basketball this year will be much more interesting and entertaining than it's been the last several years. Supposedly, we have some peace and quiet now about the ownership situation with the hockey team. Hockey team is still drawing flies for my friends who go to the games. There's nobody going to the games. You can tailgate. You can have the Red Wings in, and it's full of Red Wing fans. But I think that story is just going to repeat its cycle about a year, year and a half from now. Get back to me when this ownership group is saying, wow, this really isn't working out for us like we thought it would. Well, yeah, no kidding. No kidding. The baseball team is just kind of sort of there. There's some excitement about them, but I truly believe that they're at a crossroads with their manager. I can't for the life of me understand why Gibby would not want to go talk to the Tigers. I can't figure that out. What is keeping him here other than it's great that he's loyal? Well, maybe the Diamondbacks have to look at this big picture too. And if we're sitting here next May and they make a change because they get off to a struggling start, what have we accomplished here? I think they're putting off the inevitable. The Dodgers are just going to throw more crazy money. And Don Mattingly's a dead man walking too after seeing that press conference yesterday. Did you see that one? That was just like, What are they doing here? He's done.
Yeah.
And they weren't. So today it comes out in L.A. The Dodgers weren't happy with how the press conference was handled by Mattingly. That's your fault. Come on. I think I just need a good high school game. Get me through this. Show up on a...
It cures all, doesn't it?
Go out on a Friday night and stomp a sideline. Saturday, go to a college game. Sunday, I've got the Cardinals and Falcons in town. I mean, I'll get through this. It's just... drives me crazy. Thanks to you for being with us. And of course, our website is Sports360AZ. Sports360AZ, where Arizona-centric. Our good friends at White Mountain Radio. Always good to be on White Mountain Radio. And I'm on Twitter as well, @BradSusmat, CESMAT.